What's this?
I just saw a sign in a barber shop that said, this is a clip joint. You get trimmed by experts.
Can you top that, Harry Hirschfield?
I'll try.
Can you, Senator Ford?
There is a remote possibility.
Can you, Joe Lurie, Jr.?
Well, maybe.
These three wiseacres with the laughter makers bring you another session of Can You Top This? With the best wishes of pure white Kirkman flakes. The flakes that are really white and really safe. Just as safe as toilet soaps made to U.S. government standards, yet they give you 44% more flakes than other leading luxury brands. And now for our statistician and with ambition, a man who will make additions to your acquisitions. That's Harvard, for he's rash with cash, Roger Bauer.
Good evening. Can You Top This? Is unrehearsed and spontaneous, and our top role is keep them laughing. Anyone can send in the joke, and if your joke is told by the well-known actor and storyteller Ward Wilson, pinch-hitting for Peter Donald, you get $10. Each of the three wits try to top it with another joke on the same subject. Each time they fail to top you, you get $5 more. So you have a chance to win $25 and six boxes of pure white Kirkman flakes. Laughs are registered on the Kirkman Laugh Meter in full view of the studio audience, and in all cases, the decision of our judges is final. All right, gentlemen, are you ready?
Ready.
So is Mrs. Mabel Marino of the Bronx. Suitors, gentlemen. Suitors.
How do you spell it?
Welcome suitors?
No, no. What you were before you got married, Joe.
A tailor.
No.
And I saw buttonholes at that.
Ward, agitate the Kirkland Lab meter with Mrs. Marino's joke, will you please?
Well, this is a story about my friend Herkimer Jerkimer. He was a bachelor. He's one of those guys who never made the same mistake once. And he was a little dull in the upper story. In fact, he rented his brain out for brief pauses for radio stations at times. But it seems he fell in love all of a sudden with the daughter of a very wealthy man. This man was the president of the IT&T, the American or International Towel and Tablecloth Company. And he really wanted to marry this girl, and she was, to put it mildly, she was homely. She had those suspicious eyes. One was always watching the other. She came out in 42, and she would have been put back, but somebody slammed the door. But Herkimer went to call on Papa, and they approached him in his very sumptuous library where he was reading the scratch sheet for the following day. And he walked over to him. He said,
Mr. Fullerbox, I have come to ask for the hand of your daughter in marriage.
So he looked at him. He said, so you want to marry my little girl, eh? I suppose you have a good job.
Do you? I got a pretty good job, sir. He says, I am a sign remover. Shine remover. I pull down a couple thousand a year. He says, that's a very good job.
Father says, do you think you could support my daughter in the style to which she is accustomed? As you know, young fellow, my answer depends on your financial condition.
He says, your answer depends on my financial condition. Well, what do you know about that? My financial condition depends on your answer, too.
Well, that joke got 600 on the Kirkland Laugh Meter. 600 is the amount. The subject is suitors. Any hands on that? Harry Herschel has his hand up and his head down.
I got a couple in mind. I want to tell one as a preface. I heard the other day that fit that. A fella was calling on a girl for quite a while, and he wanted to see her especially this night. So when he called her up, she gave him that regular excuse. Oh, I've got an awful headache. But he got suspicious. He thought there was another guy. And he came up there, and there was another guy. And he pulled out a revolver, and she says, my heavens, what are you going to do? She says, I'm going to kill myself. She says, that's big of you. I thought you was going to create a scene. But today I want to tell you, with the young boys coming back from the war, and there's going to be a lot of handsome, tough guys, and it's going to be pretty hard to compete with these boys, and these fellows know it. So a guy about my age called on a gal. And he wanted to make a big impression. He says, I'm some pumpkin myself. He says, I was in a big battle in a World War, the First World War battle. I was in a big World War battle number one. And he said it was a terrible battle. And he said, the general told me, he says, to go through to the Germans. And I should capture the town from the back of the town.
against all those regiments, and I did it, and the shells and everything was fighting the grenades and everything, but I came through and I saved the town, and I came back, they were shooting at me, all of those regiments, and you know I got all the medals from the government. They pinned the general, pinned it on me, then the French gave me the Croix de Guerre. Oh, I did wonderful in that. He says, was that in Chateau Thierry? He says, no, in the big parade.
And that was 700 on the Kirk Willapita. 700 the amount. Your top, Mrs. Marino, 600, so you don't add anything to her $10. And Joe Laurie had his hand up.
I got a very short preface. This doesn't count. Two fellas meet, and he says, aren't you Maisie King's suitor? He says, yes, but I didn't. He says, you didn't what? He says, suitor. I like that. A fellow was proposing to a girl, and he says, honey, I'm crazy about you. When I look at you, you drive me nuts. I'm nuts about you. Marry me, and I'll go through fire and water for you. She says, make it fire, because I'd rather see you hot than all wet.
That was a hot 1,000 out the Kirk to Lab Reader. You top Mrs. Marino 600, so again, we don't add anything to her $10. Senator Ford, are you in this one?
I was wishing you fellas would tell a good gag to remind me of one. Well, a woman went into a place on 7th Avenue, and she looked at some garments and said, what is this made of? And the salesman said, wool. It's 100% wool. She said, well, then what is this label doing in sewed in here that says 100% cotton? He said, that's only to keep the moths away. That's that cloak and suit gag that he was doing. The hockey pop said to Topi, Tildock, he said, hey, Topi, are you keeping company with Cynthia anymore? So Topi said, nah. That was a whirlwind courtship. When she mentioned marriage, I blew. So a fellow who was... girl said, yes, I'll marry you, but have you seen my mother and father? And he said, many times, but I want to marry you anyhow.
Well, that was 500 on the curtain laughing.
You know what's the trouble today? I went to the chiropodist and he cut all the corn off me.
But I heard one about Goering. When Goering went around with a girl, he only sent her telegrams. He couldn't get in the telephone booth. Maybe I should
have... Sure, you wish to top this, Marina. We send Mr. Marina $15 and 6 true blue boxes of pure white Kirkland flakes. And now for Hugh Chambers. Give us a tip, Chip.
Well, you're off the track, Jack. It's not chips, it's flakes. Kirkland flakes, because those pure white Kirkland flakes are safe. Just as safe as toilet soaps made to U.S. government standards. Safe for babies' clothes, sheer stockings and fragile underthings. Safe for gay washable colors, and of course, safe for hands. And what's more, in the big 18-ounce true blue Kirkland package, you get 44% more pure white flakes than from other leading luxury brands. That means Kirkman flakes are economical enough for washing dishes, too. Remember, that's 44 means plenty more.
Well said, Hugh. James L. Griffin of Brooklyn submits this story to the Kirkman Comedy Carnival. The subject is invitations, gentlemen. Invitations. Ward Wilson, give Mr. Griffin's story to the waiting listeners, will you, please?
Well, this is a little story about Patrick O'Flaherty, a Swedish boy. And he decided on the occasion of his birthday that he was going to throw himself sort of a Donnybrook. He had all of his pals there, all of his saloonatic friends. And they were all gathered together, among whom was one Michael O'Toole. Well, Michael was a square-shouldered guy with a head to match, pretty much. And they had a wonderful time at the party. Everybody was giving out with the songs and everything. Nora Murphy sang Far, Far Away, and everybody figured she wasn't. And Clancy sang Coming Through the Rye, and by that time they'd gone through all of it. And then they played Pin the Tail on the Donkey, and Pat still has the scars to prove it. And everything was going along fine. It was great, and they gave imitations and sang songs and one thing and another. So Pat finally saw Mike over there, who had been imbibing slightly. Of course, it's anybody's privilege to drink, but Mike had sort of been abusing the privilege. He was sort of in the stiff stage. So Pat wanted to get him up to do something, too, so he looked over at him. He says, well, ladies and gentlemen, I have the honor and privilege of asking my friend Mike if he'd be entertaining us a bit. Mike, would you be giving us with a song? So Mike looked at him and he says, No, I can't sing anymore. My voice is gone. Voice is gone. I can't sing. I just can't sing a note. That's all there is to that.
He says, well, then, how about doing a step or two? Maybe a little jig or possibly a reel. That would be good, too.
He says, no, I can't do that. That arthritis is setting into my legs. I can't do a jig. I can't do anything like that at all.
He says, well, certainly, Mike, there's something you can do. Come on, now. Just something to prove that you're sociable. That's all. Just be a nice, sociable fella.
He said, well, that's different. He says, all right, as long as you're all friends and you want me to do something to be sociable. But mind you, just to be friendly and sociable, I'll lick any man in the house.
Kurt will have me to give that story 300. 300 is the amount. Mr. Griffin has 300. Subject is invitations, and Joe Loretta is there first.
A fellow is visiting his girl one night, and while he was there, he was courting her, and while he was there, a terrific storm come up. Oh, terrible. And he waited and waited. Finally, the girl's mother says, John, she says, you can't go home tonight. This is terrible. I've never seen such a storm like this. Why, it's pouring out. He says, oh, I can go out. No. I tell you what I'll do. I'll fix the spare room for you. You stay here tonight. And the girl says, oh, and I'll go in the kitchen and fix some refreshments. That'll be fine. So she goes, the mother goes upstairs and fixes the spare room, and the daughter goes in the kitchen, fix some lunch or something. And 20 minutes later, when they get back to the parlor, they see John standing in. He's soaking wet, and a bundle under his arm. So what happened to you? She says, I went home to get my pajamas.
$1,000. Top Mr. Griffin's $300. Don't add anything to his $10. And Senator Ford
had
his hand up a second.
Two husbands were talking. One of them said, I hear that your wife comes from a very fine family. He said, what do you mean, comes from a very fine family? When I married her, she brought them all with her. A fellow was invited to a farmhouse to spend a vacation. When he got there, they put him in a room on the ground floor. And for 4 or 5 days, an old pig kept trying to get into that room. So the guest said to one of the farm boys, he said, say, this pig's been trying to get into my room for 4 or 5 days. He must like me, huh? So the farm kid said, oh, no, that ain't the reason why he goes into that room. That's where he lives when you ain't here.
Well, that was 1,000 on the Kirkman lap meter, and the previous one, which was 500. In either case, you topped Mr. Griffin 300. So
oh, I was trying to get warmed up for 1,000.
I see. Well, you've got it, though.
Right.
Harry Hirschfeld?
Yeah. Lou Brooks told me a story that's a goofy story. There was a moron that kept having his finger in his ear like this all the time. But nobody would invite him to parties or anything because he was a nuisance. They couldn't figure this out. He was with his finger in his ear. So a psychiatrist stepped into the picture and said, you're wrong socially with that boy not to invite him. Gives him something that's wrong. I'll invite him, give him a little party, and then I'll get his confidence, and then I'll ask him about that ear, and I can fix it. So he gave a little party to the psychiatrist. He got the moron there. Moron came in with a finger in the ear like this. And they had this party, and he finally said, why do you keep your finger in your ear? There's a fly in my head. That's the reason. So the doctor said he figured out a scheme with it. He'd make him think he did have a fly and take it away. So he examined him and says, yes, you've got a fly in your ear, but I'll get it out. So he gave him an anesthetic, took it out, and had a dead fly ready. When he got all over, he said, see, you did have a fly, and I've taken it out, and I've killed him. The fellow left. A few days later, they came again to the psychiatrist. Says he's now got 2 fingers into both ears. So they invited him again. And he said, listen, why do you keep the 2 fingers in your 2 ears? I took that fly out of your head. He says, yeah, but for the bother it gave me, I don't want any more coming in again.
$1,000. As much as all three of us have topped Mr. Griffin's 300, we sent Mr. Griffin a joke book for $10 for sending the story and 6 proof boxes of pure white Kirkman flakes. Well, Well, his next joke is from Fred Schultz of Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. And the subject is discipline, gentlemen. Discipline. Discipline. Ward, spin Mr. Schultz's joke up to Kirk and Laffy, will you please?
A couple of army jokes ought to go in there.
I thought of that.
Just what this one is. At a certain airfield, there was a major in charge who was very much of a stickler for discipline. Great disciplinarian. He had to have everything just right. Every little detail had to be meticulous. In fact, even at dinner, the salad that he ate had to have formal dressing. And I think he was trained by General Yuhu Ben Lear or something. But anyway, this major learned that a B-29 was due to arrive over the field, and to show off for all the people assembled there, he had the two-way communication system between the plane and the tower hooked into the PA system on the field so that everybody could hear the two-way conversation between the plane and the tower. Well, everything was all set in readiness. All the last detail was ironed out. And finally, the plane thundered across the field, way up about 10,000 feet, and made contact by radio, requested landing instructions. So the major stepped over very politely, opened up his microphone, and he gave the information to the B-29, and they came right back, but not in the usual way, such as Roger, meaning I understand, and Wilco, meaning will do. But what he heard was the voice in the plane said, Roger, Dodger, and Wilco, Filco. Well, he burned up a little bit. He gave the instructions back again and came back again. Roger, Dodger, Wilco, Filco. Well, he was burning up. He was really steaming. His face was red. The oak leaves on his shoulders even curled up on the edges. And he screamed back into the transmitter. He says, listen, young man, this is Major Dinglehopper. Cut out that baby talk. This is most important, so see to it that you answer with the proper Roger and Wilco. Quick as a flash, the answer came back from the B-29. Roger, Dodger, you old codger. I'm a major, too.
And so he got $1,000 on the Kirkland Avenue, $1,000 in the amount, and Mr. Schultz automatically has $25, and you wits are out for the laughs and the glory and the soap, and the subject is discipline, and he hands on discipline all three hands. Well, Harry has his hand up the highest.
While I was thinking of a gag on the subject, I just made up one by General MacArthur. He'll keep them in line. He'll have those nips down on their Japanese.
Well, hey, I heard, Harry, you know, we rehearsed on the Germany.
Oh.
Very good.
I think they're both McCarthy.
But the gang I want to talk about is Lord Havaglass came to America for the first time and bought his big racing car. And he thought the best way to see America is by car. So he rushed to the country and all of a sudden came to a big sign. It says, drive slowly. This means you. This is my word. How did they find out they came over here?
$800 on the Kirkland Avenue. $800 is the amount. Any other hands?
Joel already. I got a short preface about this fellow. Says, I need discipline. And the only place to get it is in the Army. So he goes to an enlistment place. He says, I want to enlist. He says, for how long? He says, the duration. He says, there's no war now. He says, I know. For the duration of peace. What I want to tell... I like kids' stories. The one I want to tell is the mother's getting the baby ready for bed, and she says to little Jimmy, she says, Jimmy, go upstairs and get baby's nightgown. He says, nah. He says, Jimmy, I'll slap you if you answer me like that. Go upstairs and get little Jimmy's nightgown. He says, nah. He says, do you know what's going to happen if you don't get his nightgown? The little baby is going to put on his wings and fly right back to heaven. He says, yeah. Well, let him put on his wings and fly up and get his nightgown.
$1,000 for the Kirkland Avenue. You tried, Mr. Schultz.
Senator Ford? Well, I guess this has come under the head of discipline. The Scotchman who smacked his kid because it bought an all-day sucker at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, a sergeant who wasn't too bright sent a corporal who was still not as bright as the sergeant around to see that all the lights were out in the barracks. So he looked along and he thought he saw some light coming out from under a door, and he said, put that light out. The voice inside said, that's the moon. The corporal said, I don't care what it is, put it out.
$500 on the Kirkland Avenue. $500 is the amount.
Well, holler it louder.
However, inasmuch as none of you has topped Mr. Schultz, we sent Mr. Schultz $25 and six two blue boxes of pure white Kirkland flakes. And now, last night, Kirkland Flakes' famous roving reporter interviews a glamorous lady lifeguard, Petunia Porpoise of Sunburn Beach.
Miss Porpoise, you must have had some thrilling experiences as a lifeguard.
Oh, I have. Why, the other day I rescued a millionaire. Gosh, was he handsome. And while he was unconscious, he kissed me 50 times.
50 times? Is that right?
Well, it may not have been right, but it was darned interesting.
Well, did he offer any other reward?
Oh, yes, he wanted to give me a hacienda.
Did you take it?
Certainly not. My hotel won't let me keep that. And besides, my boyfriend told me...
Oh, you have a boyfriend then, huh?
Certainly, and what a guy. He whistles at his work.
Whistles at his work?
Yeah, he's a traffic cop.
Well, well, soon you'll marry and have a lot of...
Mr. White, how you talk.
A lot of Kirkland Flakes, because pure white Kirkland Flakes are safe. Just as safe as toilet soaps made to U.S. government standards.
Safe, that's me.
And Kirkland Flakes are safe for sure stockings and fragile underthings.
Well, I don't wear stockings in swimming. I wear sort of a... It goes
and Kirkland
around.
Flakes are safe for gay washable colors and safe for baby skin.
Yeah, and then I twist it in the back.
And of course, those Kirkland Flakes are safe for a woman's lovely hand.
Thank you, the flatterer, though. My boyfriend wouldn't like it, though.
What's more, in the big 18-ounce True Blue Kirkland package, you get 44% more pure white flakes than from any other leading luxury brand.
44% more. Sounds good, but my boyfriend don't let me accept gifts from people...
And that 44% more means Kirkland Flakes are economical enough for doing dishes, too.
Well, my boyfriend don't let me accept gifts.
Why, he must be narrow-minded.
Oh, is he narrow-minded? Why, he could look through a keyhole with both eyes at once.
Well, you can open it. Tell him with Kirkland Flakes that 44 means plenty more.
Kirkland Flakes are sure lifesavers, for they're easy on your duds. Kirkland Flakes do duds and dishes in those rich, long-land seas.
Jim Adelson of New York City sent in this next story, and the subject is advice, gentlemen, advice. Ward, would you read Miss Adelson's story, please?
Well, Sam Smolowitz, very recently married, met his very good friend Abe, who was a bachelor, Abe Birnbaum, and they were talking things over, and Sam was telling him all the joys of married life. Painting a very vivid picture was wonderful. So, Abe says,
you're very lucky fella, says, ipsy pipsy, yankee little uptown boy, says. He says, to tell you the truth, I too would like to get married myself. Says, a little bit trouble, he says, every time I want to marry a girl for love, I find out she ain't get any money. But, he says, you see, right now, I got somebody in mind. He says, a very lovely ipsy pipsy daughter, says, she is beautiful like Venus. Except with the arms she's got, too. She's rich like Rockefeller. Got plenty of money and smart. How smart she's got with the split infinitives. Makes all kinds of dialogue. She's a very smart girl. And a wonderful cook. Beats up a mean bagel very easy-pitsy. Does a beautiful job. She's blinces. She cooks out of this world. Make a lovely husband for me. But there says it's just one thing, one little insipinsy thing that's got me upset. Says once a year, one day in the year, she gets a little bit off the beam, a little bit off balance, a little bit nuts.
So Sam says, well, I says she's rich, she's beautiful, she can cook like nobody's business, but you tell me one day a year she goes wacky. I don't exactly set myself up for a Jake J. Anthony, he says, but I'll give you a little advice.
Sam says, all right, provide the advice. Tell me what I should do.
He says, well, I'll tell you what you should do. He says, I'll advise you. He says, you marry her on the one day that she's a little bit wacky. Because on the other 364 days, she takes a good look at you, if she would sick the dogs on you.
The corporate lottery gave that, 600. 600 is the amount. Miss Adelson has 600. Subject is advice. Harry Hirsch with his hand up first.
Little Sammy in school has got his head in his hands, very worried, and the teacher says, Sammy, wake up.
can you tell me how many feet a mosquito's got? Says, teacher, my mother's in the hospital. My father's out of our job. My brother's lost. My sister's getting a divorce. Teacher, go home and don't worry. I should have your problems.
$700 is the amount on the first of that ready. You taught Miss Adelson $600, so she stays with $10 and set it to $40 to stand up second.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Ditsy Palmwater went on an ocean trip. This was some years ago. And when they boarded the ship, Mrs. Palmwater said to one of the sailors, my husband suffers, he's allergic to mal de mer. So the sailor said, well, that's all right. A lot of people get seasick. So she said, look, if he gets seasick, will you tell him what to do? He says, lady, if he gets seasick, I won't have to tell him what to do. He'll do it.
$700 on the curtain for that, Peter. $700. But you also taught Miss Adelson $600. We don't have anything to a $10. And
Papers Fairfax years ago used to answer advice to the lovelorn in the paper. So a girl writes and says, I go with a young man who has no money, but he says he's a go-getter. Shall I marry him? She says, dear little girl, don't marry a young go-getter. Marry an old already gotter.
$800 on the Kirkman Lab, Rita. $800 is the amount. You also top Miss Adelson $600. Inasmuch as all three of you which have topped Miss Adelson, we send Miss Adelson a joke book for $10 a sitting and 6 true blue boxes of pure white curtain. I see by the clock up there we haven't time for another full round of stories, but we have a moment or so for clown table. If you fellas have anything on your mind,
The only thing you can talk about today is VJ Day.
You know, I was just thinking, I wonder, did the Mikado save anything for a rainless day?
You know, I got to thinking also, it took the end of a world war to get a bigger crowd in Times Square than Sinatra could get.
You know, I was just thinking about our war with Germany was a matter of hours. Eisenhower's. And this war with Japan seems to be just a matter of minutes.
Well, you know, now the war is over. A lot of you people think you're going to get everything you want, but there's one thing I read you're not going to get. You girls are not going to get girdles right away. I also read that they're making rubber now out of sand and gas. Isn't it going to be uncomfortable to have sand in your girdle?
With this piece of vital information, we conclude the clown table discussion. And thus there's another earthquake. Can you top this? Brought to you by Pure White Curtain Flakes. Join us again next week, same time, same gang. Other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Senator Ford.
Harry Hirschfield.
Joe Laurie Jr.
Ward Wilson.
Roger Bauer.
And Wash White saying good night for Kirkman Flakes.